now we see him not, yet we believe. Not like we ought to, not like we want to believe, but we do believe. We pray with the centurion, Lord, I do believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And we rejoice with a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And it says in verse 9, and receiving the goal of faith, and that is the salvation of your soul. The hope and expectation and goal of faith is the salvation of our souls. Now, when God created Adam, we became living soul. Scripture says that God breathed, he made man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And when Adam sinned, he and you and I, we became a condemned soul. Scripture says, the soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And if I live, continue in that state, a condemned soul, if I continue to live only for the world and not for Christ and not in Christ, I'll forever be a lost soul. Our Lord said, what shall it profit a man if he gain this world, the whole world, and lose his soul, lost soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? He told about the rich young man who was prosperous in the world. And he was lying in his bed at night thinking about what he was going to do to continue his prosperity. And he said, I'll tear down the barns I have now and build bigger barns. And then I'll say to my soul, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And that night, the Lord said, thy fool, this very night, thy soul shall be required of thee. But if I can believe, this is what it's saying here, whom having not seen, I can love, in whom though now I see him not, yet I can believe, and find in him my joy and rejoicing. No confidence in the flesh, but rejoice in Christ Jesus. The end of that faith is the eternal salvation of my soul. And then at death, my body will go back to the dust from whence it came. God made man from the dust. But my soul, what did he say? Made Adam from the dust, and God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. My soul, go back to him who gave it, the breath of God, the life of God. That's what that's talking about there, receiving the goal, the object, the end of faith. And that's the eternal salvation and glory of my soul, my precious, valuable soul. And then verse 10 says, of which salvation the prophets, going back to the prophets, you have the prophet Amos, the prophet Ezekiel, and the prophet Jeremiah, and the prophet Isaiah, and the prophet Moses, and right on back to the prophets. Of which salvation, this salvation by grace, this salvation through faith in Christ, is no new gospel, it's no new plan, it's no new salvation. All of these prophets have inquired and search diligently into this salvation of our souls. All of them have. Acts 10:43 says, to him gave all the prophets witness. Abraham, Christ said, these old Jews said, well, we have Abraham. He said, Abraham saw my day. He rejoiced to see it. They said, well, we have Moses. He said, Moses wrote of me. If you'd have believed Moses, you'd have believed me. Moses wrote of me. Of which salvation these prophets inquired and searched diligently into this salvation. And they prophesied of the grace that should come to you and me, of the Christ who would come and redeem sinners, of the Messiah who would come, born of a woman, made under the law, redeem them that were under the law, of the Lamb of God who would come. They prophesied of his coming, this grace that should come unto you. And then verse 11 says, and they searching, what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them. I've heard people argue about whether or not the Old Testament believers had the Holy Spirit. They said, you know, our Lord promised the disciples the Comforter would come, the Holy Spirit would come, and he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Spirit. And then at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. Well, I know all that. And someday I'll understand all of it. But I do know this. The Spirit of Christ was in them, it says here. Isn't that what it says? The Spirit of Christ was in them. And if you look at 2 Peter 1, now these prophets, they searched and inquired diligently into this coming Messiah and Redeemer, and Moses wrote of him, and Abraham saw his day, and they wrote the Scriptures. How did they write the Scriptures without the Holy Spirit? It says in verse 20 and 21 of 2 Peter 1, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. When Isaiah wrote, he was wounded for our transgressions, the Holy Spirit was in him. Holy Spirit, Spirit of revelation, Spirit of illumination. And then also, if you'll turn with me over here to 2 Peter. Is that where it is about Noah preaching? It's in, First Peter 3. Let's see if it's 1 Peter 3. Yeah, 1 Peter 3. Now watch this. Here's the sufferings of Christ. Let's go back to our text just a minute. Let me read this right here. In verse 11, these men, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it, that is he, the Holy Spirit, testified beforehand, before Christ died, before the cross, the sufferings of Christ. He testified in them and to them and through them the sufferings of Christ. Now go to 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit, by the Spirit, by which Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. In other words, when Noah's a preacher of righteousness. When Noah preached to these people while the ark was preparing, Noah preached to them the gospel of Christ, gospel of redemption, the gospel of the mercy and grace of God to sinners by that same Spirit, by that same, the Holy Spirit. That's what he said, that Christ didn't go down into hell and preach to people. It's saying he preached to them through Noah. The Spirit of Christ, which was in them, testified to them of the sufferings of Christ and the victory and the glory that should follow. That's what verse 11 says. It's the same message. For example, let's go to Isaiah 53 a minute. The sufferings of Christ and the glory which should follow. I tell you, if you want a gospel sermon, Isaiah 53, that's where it is. Look at Isaiah 53, verse 10. Isaiah 53, 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul, he can save my soul with the offering of his soul, an offering for sin, he'll see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Now watch this. Here's the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Here's the glory. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil of the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. All right, back to 1 Peter. These prophets searched what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify. When the Spirit testified before it ever happened, before Christ came, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now verse 12. Unto whom? We're still talking about those prophets. The Old Testament prophets, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, Christ didn't come in their lifetime. And they knew that. But it wasn't unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things, the glorious things, the good things, things to come, justification, sanctification, wisdom, righteousness, which are now reported unto you. Which are now reported unto you, having been revealed to you. Who reported it to you? It's reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Ah, my. My, my. The Old Testament prophets knew that they prophesied of future things. And the fulfillment of all those prophecies is preached to us by the same Holy Spirit that led them to write these things. Same Holy Spirit. Look over at Acts chapter 2 just a moment. Acts the second chapter. Peter preaching on Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 25, he goes back and picks up the writings of David. Old Testament writings of David, who wrote by the Holy Spirit of the sufferings of Christ. In Acts 2, 25, for David speaks concerning him, concerning Christ. And he said, I foresaw the Lord always before my face. For he's on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice. My tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt not abandon my soul. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, Peter said, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's dead. His body's in the grave. He's buried. His grave is with us to this day. Therefore, David, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, that he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. David, seeing this before us, he wasn't speaking of his resurrection, he was speaking of Christ's resurrection. That Christ's soul was not left in the grave, neither his flesh to see corruption. And this same Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we're all witnesses. There's the unity of those old prophets and the apostles, of those old patriarchs and the preachers of God today. Same gospel, same message, same salvation, same Christ, same Holy Spirit reported to you. So, sufferings of Christ. I want to show you something in verse 12, 1 Peter 1, verse 12, which things the angels desire to look into. You know, you can comprehend and take hold of something that is a mystery to the angels who never fail. One of the hymn writers, Doddridge, 1755, wrote this, around that bloody tree, the angels press with strong desire that wondrous sight to see, the Lord of life expire. And could their eyes have known a tear, in sad surprise, they would have dropped it there. I know why he died. I know the Son of Man must be lifted up. And angels desire to look into that. These prophets, they knew something. But I'll tell you, we have a clear revelation. That's some, so therefore, now watch this, verse 13. Wherefore, since you have such a clear revelation, listen, gird up the loins of your mind. That's those fellows used to wear those long skirts like, you know, the Moses and all those fellows wore. When they ran, they gathered them up. Somehow they tied them, I read one place. And they could move with haste. And he says, gird up the loins of your mind. Apply your minds diligently. Since we are so highly favored, to have revealed unto us all that the great prophets of God have talked about and wrote about and hoped for and inquired into, since God has revealed to us the mysteries which even angels desire to look into. Let's get interested. Let's get these minds. Get put away the sleepiness and indifference and taking things for granted and sharpen your mind like you do a razor. Gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Be serious. Cut out the foolishness. And hope to the end. Listen. And hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Lord, don't pass me by. While on others thou art calling, don't pass me by. Give me a thirst. See, lead me to seek thee and seeking thee to find thee, and finding thee to love thee, and loving thee to continue to serve thee, and serving thee to wake someday in thy likeness. He gives us some instructions here, starting with verse 13. Wherefore, since you are so favored, gird up the loins of your minds. And then verse 14. Now listen to this. As obedient children, don't try to be like the world. Not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust of your ignorance. Don't try to be like the world. Live for the glory of God. Don't copy the world. Don't try to be like them or seek their approval. I remember back when I was in the Navy, years and years and years and years and years ago. But fellas in the Navy, it's popular to get a tattoo. Most of them got drunk before they got tattoos. But everybody go on liberty or leave and come back with a mom written across here or a big ship over here, you know. Or some fellas, the whole chest had some kind of colossal revelation on it. Thankfully, by God's providence, I missed that. I am so glad I did. Because I don't know a one of them now that wish they could get rid of it. I see men every once in a while with big scars. And I say, what's that? He says, where I had this tattoo removed. Boy, the scar looks worse than the tattoo, you know. But he was ashamed of it. Even girls are getting them now. And here this thing swung around again. I see all these fellas getting these tattoos. Well, I say to our young people, take this from your old white-haired pastor. You go ahead and get one of those anywhere you want to, but I guarantee you, one day, you'll wish it wasn't there. And it can't be removed. You cut your arm off and get rid of it, but you can't get rid of it. And that's trying to be like the world. This is what I'm saying. There's so many things that when we try to be like them, we got to suffer the consequences. You just have to pay the price. You have to pay the price. And it's not worth it. Because someday you'll grow up. Someday you're going to be mature. Someday you're going to be married and work and have a family. Someday you're going to be in a place of leadership. And you wish you didn't have some of those things. Some of that baggage that you took on trying to be like somebody or trying to impress someone. Don't do it. If you want a role model, the Lord Jesus Christ is the best role model. Be like him. Don't fashion yourself after the world. Don't do that. They've missed it. They've missed it. But as he, verse 15, which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be like him. Make the Lord Jesus your example and your role model. I wrote a scripture down here. Let's look and see what it is. 2 Corinthians 5. On this particular point. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8 and 9. Listen to what it says. Yeah, let's don't try to be impress the world. Let's impress him. Be accepted of him. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. I'm confident, and I say, and willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore, we labor, that whether present or absent, whether here or in glory, we labor to be accepted of him. That's it. Accepted of him. Because, verse 16, 1 Peter 1, it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, let's look at verse 17. There's several things here in verse 17. And if you call on the Father, and that is two references. And number one, we call on him for mercy. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We call on him for mercy. If you call on God for mercy. But the second thing is here, if you call God your Father, if you profess that he is your Father, if you call on the Father, if you call him Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work. In other words, God's a true judge. Our ways and works are not hid from him. He looks on the heart, not on the outward flesh. He knows us as we are. If you really call on Him, and call Him your Father, who sees the heart, not just the outward man, but looks on the heart. Pass the time of your sojourning here. We are sojourners. We're not here permanently. We're passing through. Then spend your time here in reverence and in fear, believing Him and walking with Him. Teach me, Lord, to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. This world's not my home. It's just a temporary place. I'm here for a little while, but not for long. And nor are you. All right, verse 18. For as much as you know. Now please remember that Peter is writing to believers. They're strangers. The grace of God has made them strangers for the sake of the gospel. They're elect. They're born of the Spirit. They're heirs of life. They're people who've been tried, proven, who believe, love, and rejoice in Christ. And they know some things. What do we know? Here's what we know. For as much as you know, we know that we were not redeemed from our sins and our false religion with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from our vain conversation, behavior, philosophy, citizenship, received by tradition from our fathers. That's false religion. We were not redeemed from sin and false religion by silver and gold. Well, how were we redeemed? Well, we know, verse 19, how we were redeemed. I know how God saved me. With the precious blood of Christ. Precious blood. As of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I know that I'm redeemed by the Lamb of God. As a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's how I was redeemed. In Genesis 22, the lamb is prophesied. Abraham said, the Lord will provide Himself a lamb. In Exodus 12, that lamb was typified. The Passover lamb was selected without spot or blemish. And it was slain, and its blood put on the door. In John 1:29, that lamb was identified. When John the Baptist pointed at the Lord Jesus Christ, said, behold, the Lamb of God. In John 19:18, that lamb was crucified, lifted up on a cross, the Lamb of God. That's how God saved me. In Revelation 5, turn over there with me, the Lamb is magnified. In Revelation chapter 5, John wrote Revelation 5, verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him, the Lamb, that sitteth upon the throne, to the Lamb, forever and ever. We know we were not redeemed with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Now watch this. And we know He's a Lamb without spot or blemish, without sin, a perfect Savior. Verse 20, we know this. He was barely foreordained before the foundation of the world. He's the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And He was manifest. He was promised. He was prophesied. All those Old Testament prophets talked about the sufferings of Christ. And then He was manifest. In these last days. You know when the last days are? The last days are from the time He came. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. He was manifest in these last times. And I tell you for whom he came. It says, and he was barely foreordained before the foundation of the world, but he was manifest in these last times for you. There's no comma, there's no period, that's a comma. The sentence is not ended, he's not through. He said he was manifest for you. Who? By him, by his grace, by his spirit, by his mercy. Do believe. Folks can talk all they want to about the general atonement and all of this sort of thing. God wants to save everybody, but he can't unless they let him. And Christ came down here and did the best he could, and that's up to you. But this, I know some things, and you do too. I'm not redeemed from my sins and my tradition that handed down through the generation by my forefathers. Religious tradition with silver and gold. I was redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb of God. The Lamb prophesied, and the Lamb typified, and the Lamb identified, and the Lamb crucified, and the Lamb magnified. The Lamb of God in the midst of the throne. And he was barely foreordained, appointed, anointed, identified before the foundation of this world. But he was manifest on this earth when he was born of Mary, and the angel said unto you, is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And when he died on that cross, God shook the heavens and covered up the sun and opened the graves and raised him from the dead and took him back to glory. And he was manifest in these last days for you who by him do believe. Not folks who ought to believe, folks who do believe. And they believe in God that raised him from the dead. They believe in God who sent him, God who ordained him, God who commissioned him, God who anointed him, God who bruised him. Please God to bruise him. God who raised him, God who called him and said, come sit thou at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. God that raised him from the dead, and listen, and gave him glory. I believe in that God that gave him glory and gave us glory in him. And the glory which you've given me, I've given them. And this is, listen, that your faith and hope might be in God and not in me and not in... A fella said to a friend of mine one time, my friend said, what is your hope for eternal life? You don't believe the gospel? He said, my hope is in my priest and the church. That's, I just turned my salvation over to the priest and to the church. That's in his hand. It's not mine to fool with. I just leave it up to him. And my friend said, well, what if he's wrong? What if he's an imposter? What if that priest is wrong? Well, he said, that's his tough luck. It's yours too, fella. If the blind lead the blind not going to fall in the ditch, they're both going to fall in the ditch. Not just the leader. Don't trust men. Well, your hope and faith in God. All right, what's these last? Here's two instructions before we close. Two vital, vital instructions. All right, seeing that your souls have been purified in obeying the truth, believing the truth, believing Christ Jesus through the Spirit, unto unfeigned means genuine, not hypocritical. Not phony, unfeigned love of the brethren. Two things. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's the first thing. Love one another. Love Christ and love each other.
Now, here's the second thing of great importance. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, endureth forever. And this is the word of the Lord, which by the gospel is preached unto you. And I sat and looked at those four verses. Seeing you've purified your soul, verse 22. What am I going to do? Seeing, number one's love. Love Christ, love each other. Second, get into the word. See, that word love is used twice right there in verse 22, and the word is used three times in those last two. Word, the word of God. I don't know of anything more vital in this believer's life than those two things. Love and the word. Loving Christ, loving one another, and being saturated in his word, and a willing student of the word.